The sunny, tourist-filled streets of 1950s Franco-era Madrid hide the dark and painful truths of the long-lived effects of the Spanish Civil War in Ruta Sepeti's new historical fiction novel, The Fountains of Silence. Ruta Sepeti is the New York Times best-selling author of Between Shades of Gray, Salt to the Sea, and Out of the Easy. At the heart of her new novel, the tender love between Daniel, the son of an American oil tycoon, and Anna, a maid in the luxurious hotel Daniel and his family are staying in. And it's in Anna and her family's interweaving and painful past where we learn about the repercussions of war and the post-war struggles and suffering of the people of Spain. Ruta is known for giving a voice to underrepresented history and those who experience it, and that is so very evident in this new novel. Ruta Sepeti joins me now to talk about The Fountains of Silence. Ruta, you really brought the city of Madrid and the history of its people, as well as the painful effects of the Spanish Civil War. You really brought all of that alive in this book. Can you give us a bit of a review of what was going on in Spain at this time?
Sure. During World War II, Franco in Spain tried to remain neutral. And the Spanish Civil War ended in 1939 after 3 years. And at that time, Franco was intent on building what he considered pure Spain, noble Spain. And he closed the country off from outsiders. The train tracks leading into in and out of Spain were purposely a different width to allow entries and exits. But after that period, Spain plunged into such poverty and hardship that when the 1950s came around during the Franco dictatorship, Franco realized that he needed outside funding, and no countries would do business with him except the United States. So in the 1950s, American tourists started flooding in to Spain. American filmmakers were making films there. The Texas oil barons were drilling there. Conrad Hilton opened his very first hotel in Europe, not in Paris, but in Madrid, amidst a dictatorship. So I think that Americans were coming in, but we were unreliable observers. We didn't understand how those people in Spain were suffering so terribly during this dictatorship. So The Fountains of Silence begins in 1957 amidst all of this.
Daniel Matheson, the son of an American oil tycoon, is your main character in The Fountains of Silence. He's one of those tourists that you said were kind of flooding into the country. He has a wonderful sensibility and a really strong moral compass, I thought. And he is a budding photojournalist. He captures images of great beauty and terrible pain and loss and poverty. Where did you get the idea of using his photography to steer this story?
The idea to use photography came from my own research. As you might imagine, when I'm researching my books, photographs, archival photographs, bring so much information to me. But it was also a great learning experience because as I was researching this book, I realized that history has so many angles, and I knew that, but visually it has angles. And what do I mean by that? I was in the archives, and I saw a photo of a child holding a weapon that was larger than his body. And this photo was so disturbing, seeing this child. And immediately I built this story in my mind, child soldier. As I flipped through the photos, there was another photo from the same scene, but a different angle. I saw the child with the gun, but hanging in the left upper corner of the photo was a film camera. They were shooting a movie. So suddenly, the story I created, just from seeing that one photo, I realized was entirely wrong. It wasn't, oh, child soldier in Spain. It was, oh, they were shooting movies in Spain. And so I wanted to use that and look for the multiple angles of history. So I built that into the character of Daniel Matheson. And he arrives in Madrid, a tourist unaware, and begins to capture angles through his lens that he was unaware of. And that actually ends up putting his life in danger at one point.
Aside from Daniel, you introduce us to a wide cast of characters, each with their own joys and pains, and they really complement the story and each other so well. But one of the most interesting characters to me was Sister Purificacion. She is tasked at the orphanage with taking care of the babies and children. Can you tell us a little more of the role she plays in the Fountains of Silence?
It's estimated or alleged that hundreds of thousands of children were stolen from their birth parents in Spain because their parents didn't align with the Franco regime, and they were gifted or sold to other families. And this was Franco's attempt to rid the country of what he considered the red gene, the Spanish Republicans who had opposed him during the Spanish Civil War. And some of this happened at the orphanages, which were called the inclusas. And I found this so interesting. And because I said history has many angles, I wanted to include those angles. And so I created this character, Purificacion, who I call Piri. And through Piri, we see how she comes in so innocent and truly believes in this mission for her country and the country's leader. And then seeds of doubt begin to crop up. And I wanted to show what might happen. And that was inspired by people I met with who told me, you have to understand, we were young, we were in school, the textbooks were written by the government. We accepted what was put in front of us. If someone of a position of power, whether it was a doctor, a lawyer, a priest, said something, we just believed it. But as they grew and matured, there were some seeds of doubt, and I wanted to represent that doubt, that coming of age, that transformation and realization. And I did that through that character, Piri.
You're listening to What We're Reading in our conversation with author Ruta Sepetys. I'm Tammy Bobrowski. Ruta's new novel is called The Fountains of Silence, a historical novel set in 1950s Franco-era Madrid. There's an ongoing theme of silence in your novel. Puri, who we just talked about, learns shocking things about the orphanage and her own birth. She struggles with whether or not to keep her silence on these discoveries. Anna, the main character, also struggles with what aspects of her life she can share with Daniel. Early in the book, she asks, what can be built through silence? All of your characters struggle with this to an extent. Can you talk about what silence represents to your characters and the story?
I was asking that question myself as I was writing the book, you know, and what kept coming back to me, does silence truly heal pain or does it just prolong it? And during the dictatorship, people had to remain silent, especially if their families had opposed Franco during the war. They feared punishment of some sort, and they weren't free to speak their own ideas or thoughts. There was no freedom of religion, no freedom of the press. There were no equal rights for women. So people remained silent. And then after the dictatorship, when Franco died, Spain adopted what is known as the Pact of Forgetting. They felt that to transition to democracy, it would be too fraught with conflict if they tried to wade through all of this controversy, and they agreed to forget, and it all went silent. And I think that in the book, I'm asking these questions through the theme of silence, and also trying to point out that sometimes silence can breed speculation. If we don't know the story, sometimes we invent our own, and that's not a malicious thing to do. We just have a need to fill in the blanks. But in this case, wow, how dangerous. This is an entire country with millions of people who endured a civil war and a 36-year dictatorship. And I feel that we really owe it to them to know the entire story, not just one side of the story, but the entire story. And so if we can break through the walls of silence, maybe we can do that.
Is there a character in The Fountains of Silence that you fell in love with as you were creating the story?
Yes. And there were two characters that were dangerously close to being edited out because my publisher didn't feel them, which meant I wasn't expressing those characters correctly in my early drafts. I mentioned two characters, but in a way, when you read the book, you'll realize they're really kind of one character. They represent a similar human experience. The characters of Rafa and Fuga. I felt these characters so deeply, and I'll explain. These are young men who, during the Spanish Civil War, their parents were arrested and executed, and they were sent to a boys' home outside of Barcelona. And this was not a boys' home. This was a slaughterhouse of souls. And despite this experience, these young boys survived. And now in the Fountains of Silence, we meet them as young men who are resilient and haven't lost their faith, and they're still pursuing these hopes and dreams and trying to engage with that inner spirit inside of them. And I felt those characters so intensely, and they are based on real people. They are based on interviews that I was so fortunate to have with incredible human beings who survived this lottery of life or death. And so I feel very much attached to those archetypes of the characters, because I believe they represent a large portion of the experience during the Spanish Civil War.
I think whatever you ended up doing with Fuga really worked, because he was probably my second favorite character out of this book. He just represented so much nobility and pain and suffering, but and hope. So I think whatever you did worked out right.
Oh, thank you. That is so validating, because, you know, when I create these characters, they feel so real to me because they're composites. They're woven from threads of actual human beings. And this character of Fuga, if I have to choose one character in the book, it's Fuga. This sort of representation of like, if you said it perfectly, nobility or our higher self. And I'm so attached to that character and also that experience, you know, that life experience.
You are known for giving voice to underrepresented history and those who experienced it. We see this in your other books as well. What makes you so passionate about history?
Writing historical fiction has taught me a lot, but what it's taught me is that progress is possible. And what I mean by that is that over, you know, the past decade of writing, I have met human beings who have experienced such unbelievable circumstances, and they've survived, yet many of them truly believe that the world has forgotten them. They feel, oh, well, they've just accepted that their history has slipped through the cracks. But what we can learn from those experiences, their experiences of resilience, oh my goodness, it inspires me. And so I want to bring that history out of the dark. I want the world to meet these people, to meet these experiences, because I think there's such an opportunity for learning and growth through those.
Ruta Sepetys is an award-winning author, a New York Times bestseller, and her new book, The Fountains of Silence, is compelling and gorgeous. It made me want to know a lot more about this sad and dark time in Spain. Ruta, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.